Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we'd love for you to phone in right now and speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. The number, 844-322-2742, so if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, maybe a Bible question, well, give us a call. We cordially invite you to do that right now, whether you're listening live or to the delayed broadcast. Of course, the number is the same. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a great passage out of the book of Acts. Paul is meeting with elders of the church at Ephesus at another location. He didn't meet them in Ephesus, but he called them to meet them at another location. And he tells them about kind of his final days, what's up ahead for him. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and they're like, no, Paul, don't you dare do that. Please, please don't go to Jerusalem, because we know there's trouble up ahead for you. And Paul was like, guys, come on. This is my task. This is my mission. I am going to Jerusalem. I'm going to finish my task of testifying to the grace of God. And then after that, they had just this personal meeting. I mean, Paul really loved this group of elders, and they loved him. And there, no doubt, I mean, Paul brought them the saving message of Jesus Christ, and they responded, and they just had this genuine affection one toward another. And then as Paul is ending this encounter with them, he says this, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So the parting words were simply this: I commend you to God. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to encourage you, to build you up. All of us need to be built up. Boy, the world, living in this world, we get knocked down day in and day out. Yeah. If it's not our own personal realm of experience where those knockdowns come, it's from the world at large. I mean, who in the world was prepared for this corona pandemic? And boy, it knocked us down. I mean, so many of us, so many Americans, and really so many people around the world were secure and happy and content and, you know, enjoying their jobs. And all of a sudden, life is altered to the hilt. I mean, you stop doing everything. People have lost retirement benefits. People have lost jobs. People have lost all sorts of things. And so this world thing that nobody could control has just knocked us down.
Yes, indeed.
So we've got all of these things that are knocking us down, all of these things that are trying to erode our confidence, trying to erode our self-image, and all of those things that are important to us in life. And we need to be built up. We need encouragement. And there's a word that would do that and will do that. And that's the word of God's grace. And that's why Paul commended this group of elders to the word of God's grace. Well, what is that word? Well, in a single word, it's Jesus Christ himself, but it's also what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. I mean, just think of all the wonderful things his death, burial, and resurrection brought into your life. Well, it cleansed you. You were dirty on the inside, and the grace of God cleansed you on the inside, purified that heart of yours. The word of grace, God's grace, the grace expressed to you in Jesus, forgave all of your sins. That word of grace made you righteous. That word of grace made you holy. That word of grace made you perfect. That word of grace made you alive. That word of grace sent Jesus to take up residence in your heart through his spirit. That's the word of grace. And that word of grace is true regardless of the circumstances of life. And if you focus on that word of grace and open the ears, open the eyes to see it for what it is, to hear it for what it is, I guarantee you it will build you up. It will be that source of encouragement that you need right now, right at this very moment, through whatever you're going through, through whatever life has put in your path, yeah. This is the word of encouragement that can lift your spirits, that can lift your soul, that can lift your perspective, and to begin to see this looking down and seeing how God is going to get you through.
Absolutely. Great words, Bob. Thank you. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you. The lines are wide open, of course, at 844-322-2742. If you have the program at about 5 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is live, and we would love for you to reach into the studio and speak directly at 844-322-2742. Question for you, friends. How is the Christian life really supposed to work? Well, that's a question many people have struggled with over the years. You strive to do the right things. You wrangle with yourself to keep from doing the wrong things. You just want to be right with God. But at the end of the day, you wonder why the Christian life isn't working for you. What's wrong? Well, if that's your life, you might find the answer in Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. The way Bob tells it, he went through all the same things until he made a discovery that changed his life forever. And it can happen for you as well. To say thank you to our donors this month, we want to send you a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's a life-changing message, friends. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and help us support this ministry of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ and get it out worldwide. Be sure to request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace when you make your May gift to Basic Gospel. Bob, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, boy, you're going to be hearing us talk about Simple Gospel, Simply Grace a whole bunch over the next couple of months. Yeah. August 1st, and I've confirmed that, August 1st is the five-year anniversary of its release. Mm-hmm. So we're certainly going to be pushing this book out there. It's a book that people need to read.
Absolutely.
So go ahead and request your copy today. Mm-hmm. And then get another copy to share with somebody else. Somebody reading this book is going to come away with a full understanding of the gospel. Yeah. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? And it's not just about forgiveness of sins. It's a bigger picture than that. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised. He ascended. That's the full story. And each of those elements of the gospel have benefit for you and me. So this book really explains those benefits. You'll walk away with a full understanding of what the gospel is. You'll walk away from this book knowing that your sins have been forgiven. It will punch fear right out of you. It will put those doubts to bed. So that you can have confidence and assurance in your relationship with the Lord, and you'll understand what it means to be free in Christ. These are the things that we all long for. These are the things that keep us up at night. Yeah. And this book will help bring some solid, clear answers to your heart and soul. So go ahead, request your copy. And like I said, get another copy or maybe 5 copies or 10 copies so that you can share with others. Mm-hmm. Let's get a Simple Gospel, Simply Grace movement going on to help celebrate this five-year anniversary.
But right now, request your copy when you make your May gift to help us support this message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. You seem to know all about it.
A little bit. Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk with Glenn.
Oh, my name's Glenn, and recently I just put up some surveillance cameras, and I'm picking up just evil faces inside these orbs that are blazing through my camera as I pause it, zoom in, and it's really just insane. I'm a new Christian, so tell me what I could do. All right, thank you.
Well, Glenn, I think the first thing to do is to not put very much stock into that. Don't try to make it something that it's not. You know, maybe that's what you're seeing. Maybe that's what it looks like. But I wouldn't put any stock into that at all, and I wouldn't think about it for another minute. That's just what you saw at that particular moment in time. What you need to focus on is the truth. And here's the truth. You're a new Christian, and here's what that means. And the same is true of you as a new Christian as an old Christian. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of this is changed. None of this is different. So for all of us, our sins have been forgiven. For all of us, we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. For all of us, we've been made holy by that once-for-all sacrifice. For all of us, we have been given the righteousness of God. For all of us, we've been made alive together with Christ. For all of us, we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God's gift of His Holy Spirit, that's a permanent reality. Christ in us is our hope of glory. Jesus Christ is with us all the time. So we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry about. We can go about our lives knowing that we are more than conquerors, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. This is true. So, Glenn, my encouragement to you is the word of grace, to really let your roots grow deep into the grace of God and come to the point where you know that you know that you know that your sins are forgiven, not just some of them, but all of them. Know that you know that you know that you have been given the righteousness of God. Know that you know that you know that you're fully alive. Know that you know that you know that Christ is fully alive and living in and through you. Now, that truth will give you a perspective on the enemy. You will recognize that the enemy has already been defeated,
yes,
that his power has been taken away from him. Jesus destroyed the work of the devil through his death on the cross. So we don't have to give much attention to those things out there. We recognize that those forces of darkness are still out there. But we also need to recognize that Jesus Christ has overcome the world, has rendered powerless those forces of darkness in our lives.
Yeah.
That's the good news. So, Glenn, we want you to grow in the grace of God. We want you to grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's going to put that an experience like that in a whole different category, and you're just going to look at it and say, oh, that was nothing.
Yeah. Well, Glenn, glad you reached out, though, and hope this answer has been a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to get back in touch with us. Right now, open lines, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to San Antonio and talk to Aaron, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Aaron.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great. How about you, my friend?
Doing great today. Another day's journey. I'm glad about
it. Oh, yes, man, that's all. Yeah. Love that attitude.
That's right.
Yeah.
That sounds like that attitude comes from the Lord, my friend.
Yeah, because what you just said, so what Paul told Colossians, that Christ in us, our hope of glory. I mean, we got the true and living God dwelling in our hearts. I mean, what it doesn't get no better than that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Something that our friend Andrew Farley says all the time. The world comes at us, but we got Christ in us.
Yeah.
So we can, I mean, what can be better than that? But I thank God for your ministry today, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
In the Bible, I think it was the man at the pool that Bethesda, Jesus healed, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was the lady at the well, or either the lady that was caught in adultery. Jesus told them, he said, after he did what he did. He said, go and sin no more. You know, and I know as a born-again believer, I know that's before the cross, before what he did. But, you know, and I know Jesus wouldn't tell somebody to do something that's humanly impossible. So it must have another meaning. So, you know, I've read commentaries and people have their take on it, and they said most likely they were in the condition because of some sin they did. And 'cause I think the man, Jesus told him, go and let some worse happen to you.
Right,
you know,
right.
But we know that's impossible. So I'd just like to get your take on that, please, and thank you for taking my question today.
Well, you are welcome, Aaron. And one thing for sure, Jesus isn't going to tell the person, I don't condemn you, so just go continue in that lifestyle.
Right.
So we know Jesus would never say anything like that. So his words to go and sin no more seem appropriate, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you were under this enslavement to sin, and I don't want you to be enslaved to sin. I want you to be free. And, you know, this whole chapter, John chapter 8, is a chapter about freedom, isn't it? You know the truth will set you free. And when the Son has set you free, you're going to be free indeed. So when I read this, Aaron, here's what comes to mind. I know that, later on in this gospel account, we're going to see Jesus saying that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit into the world. And when the Holy Spirit comes into the world or here's his job, he's going to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment, about sin, because they do not believe in me. So sin, that's unbelief, is the core of it, isn't it? That's the root. The fruit is all of these sins that we see listed out in the Word of God. But the root of all of it is unbelief in Jesus Christ. So in some sense of Jesus' words, he has this in mind: go and sin no more. What he's saying, don't continue in a life of unbelief. You've heard the good news that I don't condemn you. So live a life of belief in me. And in doing so, you're going to experience true freedom from the power of sin and death. So I think that's part of what Jesus is trying to get out here. And it's part of what he was doing throughout his ministry, wasn't it? Aaron,
yes,
in the Sermon on the Mount, that was a story of the heart, wasn't it? You know,
yes,
you have the law, you have these words written on tablets of stone, and here's what those words say. But I tell you this, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery. If you are angry with someone in your heart, you've already committed murder. So Jesus was going toward the heart, and he was saying, hey, I want to change the heart. I want to take that unbelieving, hard heart of yours, and I want to change it into a believing, soft, pliable heart, so that you can truly experience a life of freedom from sin and death, a life of freedom that allows you and empowers you to love the Lord and to love other people. So that's what I think Jesus is really getting at in those two stories that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, he was just preparing them for after the resurrection that they would receive him. Is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's,
right,
you know, Jesus is never interested in somebody just simply living, up to the standard of the law, because he knows that's an impossibility. I mean, we may look pretty good on the outside, but we don't look very good on the inside. And that's where Jesus does his work initially, isn't it? On the inside.
Right. Yes,
sir. So this gospel of Jesus Christ is an inside out reality. So the first thing that changes is new life is given to us on the inside, at the very core of who we are, and our hearts are changed, circumcised, as Paul says. And so they become believing hearts. So now we can live in belief and trust in Jesus Christ, and in so doing, experiencing the fullness of his life in and through us.
Amen. Boy, that's great. Yeah, living from with a desire rather than made to, but a desire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen.
God
that's
working great, us in us to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
Our hearts
Amen.
Being made in such
Amen.
A way through this new birth that they are receptive and willing and want to, and then we live that out by faith.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was great. And you have a great day. I thank God for you, for Basic Gospel, and not being braggadocious, because the only thing we do is brag. We brag, and we both, like Paul said, we boast in what Christ has done for us.
We're bragging about Jesus, aren't we?
Yeah, we're bragging about Jesus. Yeah, we're bragging about what he did, but that's why I support you guys monthly, because of what you do. And just like y'all say all the time that others may hear the great, the good news of Jesus Christ. God bless you today.
Well, thank you, Aaron. We sure appreciate it. It's great to hear from you, my friend.
Aaron, never met you, but love you, my brother.
Love you, too. You have a great day. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Aaron. Well, let's go down to, well, let's stay in San Antonio and talk with Oscar. Hi, Oscar.
Hello. You hear me?
We can hear you just fine. What's on your mind today?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering because I was on YouTube. I've been on YouTube. I'm always like a person searching, you know, for answers and stuff. I was wondering, I was just curious, like a few months ago, I was like watching stuff on YouTube about people like dying and having near-death experience and going to hell or heaven. But when they come back, when they come back from that vision or that near-death experience, it sounds like they're preaching work salvation. I was wondering if that's a lie from Satan, because I know they said Satan could transform themselves to angel light. I'm just wondering if those testimonies are real or are they a deception?
Well, Oscar, that's a great question. As far as what their experience was, I mean, we can't really deny that if this is what they say happens or happened in that moment. This is what they saw. This is what they experienced. We can just take that as their story, as their testimony about that particular moment in time. It's what they do with that really matters, how they interpret that. And so many people look at that, and like you said, Oscar, they will say, hey, this was my moment. This is what had to happen for me to experience salvation or whatever it is. And they look at the experience as what saved them rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So if somebody comes back from that and their hearts are receptive and open to hearing the story about Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and what that means for them, and they can respond to that grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, then praise God for that. God has used that experience to open their hearts to receive him. So, gosh, you'd praise God for that. But if they just look at it and say, wow, I had this spiritual experience, and now I'm going to define myself by that experience, that near-death experience, then they're going to be blind to the real story. And the real story is Jesus, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yes.
So it's... So it's like a lot of people have said they've seen angels or this or that, and it's like, okay, if that's your story, but don't let that story supersede the real story and the fact that Jesus came into this world, so loves you that he died in your place, that he died for your sins so that you could be forgiven and cleansed, and then he was raised back to life so that you too could experience eternal life or could enjoy eternal life. So everything is about the gospel of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. And another thing I was going to ask you too is, like, how do you, like, because me as a believer, as trusting in Christ, I do, you know, like, there's, we don't, as for the next day, you don't ever know when our time is up for death, right?
Right.
See, I've been
right.
struggling because I struggle with anxiety. You know, I have panic attacks, and I just have a fear in death. You know, like taking my last.
Well, Oscar, Jesus has tasted death for you, and he overcame. He came out of that grave, which means you're going to be with him forever because you're in Christ. So let that truth knock that fear right out of you, okay? We're about out of time on this edition, so let me put you on hold, and we'll get some resources to you, okay, my friend?
Okay, thank you, brother.
You hold on.
Lila, sorry we didn't get to your call on this edition. Hope you'll call back tomorrow. We would love to address your question here at Basic Gospel. Till then, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow, same time, same station, for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.